is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, it's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. What a great day it is today. It's raining outside, but, you know, God sends the rain to do good. A lot of people curse the rain. They curse what they think is bad weather, but they have to keep in mind that God has prepared a perfect system for us so that we have rain when we need it and sometimes when we think we don't need it, but God knows best. Great to be with you today here from Austin, Texas. We're going to continue our series, The Mystery of the Seed. I am convinced this is one of the most important teaching series that I've ever taught, because if you don't understand who you are in Christ Jesus, you don't understand what the church is, what the remnant is, what the elect is, and who is inside the kingdom, who's, well, outside the kingdom, you really, you know, you haven't gone much past the milk of the word, and you didn't get much of a drink of it. So we're going to go deep into this series, into the seed, the mystery of the seed. There is a great mystery in the seed of God. You know, the Bible talks about the seed of Abraham. Are you of the seed of Abraham? Some people would say, oh, that's talking about the Jews. Is it? Are you sure? Is there a physical seed and a spiritual seed? Well, we're going to talk all about that. You must know this information. Let me tell you why. Jesus said something powerful. In the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, it's recorded that Jesus said, if you understand the gospel of the seed, then you'll understand all of the parables of Christ. But if you do not understand this one principle, this one parable, the parable of the seeds, which is the mystery of the seed, if you don't understand it, Jesus, our Lord, said, you will not understand any of them. But wait, there's more. Jesus said that if you understood, if you can understand, and I believe that understanding comes from the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. It's not in yourself. It's not how much education. It's not how smart you are and how you can analyze and digest information and data. No, no, no. This is a divine type of understanding, something from God. And you can have a first grade education or have 26 years of formal education, and it's not going to do you good either way. But if God gives you a divine understanding of the mystery of the seed, listen to what our Lord said. He said, you will be saved, you will be converted, and your sins will be forgiven you. But if you do not understand it, your sins will not be forgiven you, and you will stay in that outer place. You will not be part of the kingdom of God. And on judgment day, you can come before Christ and you can say, Lord, Lord, look at all the things great things I did in your name. I cast out devils. I did great miracles in your name. And Jesus says, I never knew you. How would you like on judgment day to go before God? And you lived your whole life and you thought you were a good Christian and you've done mighty works and people everywhere applauded and admired you. You were on the top 10 list, maybe admired people in the world, everybody in your neighborhood, your town, your city, your state, everywhere they said, what a great person this is. What a wonderful Christian man or woman that is. What a humanitarian. You've done so much. You could establish orphan homes and people could say, what a miracle worker. He loves the homeless. He's full of love. What a great person. And you get before Jesus on that day. What if he were to say, you know, you don't understand the mystery of the seed. I gave the parable of the seed. Explain that to me. How would you like to take a pop quiz on Judgment Day? You say, well, Lord, here's the way I understand the seed doctrine. And you finish speaking and he says, I don't even know you. I don't even know you. I don't claim that you're part of my kingdom. You're not born again into my family. And he sends you into outer darkness. The Bible says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you imagine a person deceiving themselves? A woman or a man actually deceiving themselves? For their whole life? Believing they're a great, wonderful, good person. That's what most people tell me when I say, do you deserve to go to heaven? Not too long ago, I was in Seattle, Washington, on a little island. I went in a little shop, and a woman there was the sales clerk, and she asked me, where are you from? I said, Texas. She said, oh, you're here on vacation? I said, no, I'm here to speak to a group. She said, what group? I said, well, it's at a church. And she looked at me a little bit, you know, strange. She said, well, that's nice. And I don't know why, but I just had this intuition and this calling. And I asked her, I said, would you like to come to that meeting? She said, well, I might do that. I'll ask my husband about it. And then before I could even think, it just came out of my mouth. I said, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord? And she looked at me. She says, well, I surely have great respect for him. I said, ma'am, do you deserve to go to heaven? She looked at me with shock. I mean, here I was just a man, you know, that come in to look around. To be honest with you, I wasn't even buying anything. Just, you know, there's a beautiful place, that little island there. Gorgeous shops in a very scenic street, and they had boats going down there, and we had to get over there on a ferry to get there. But I asked her, do you deserve to go to heaven? She said, well, I think so. I'm a good person. What a great lead-in. Friends, that's the best lead-in that you could ever have. When they say, I think so. I think I deserve to go to heaven. I'm a good person. I said, ma'am, I would like to think I'm a good man, but as a sinner, I didn't deserve to go to heaven. I still don't deserve to go to heaven. She says, you don't think you're going to heaven? I said, ma'am, I know I'm going to heaven, but it's not because I deserve it. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I told her about Jesus Christ, and I said, he is Lord and Savior. He can save you. Certainly, I'm so glad that you respect him. But he wants you to worship and to love him the same way he loves you. And you know, her eyes watered up. She said, I would like to know Jesus in that way. And, you know, there was nobody in the place. Sometimes God arranges opportunities. And I said, well, I'd love to just pray with you just a moment. She said, okay, I'd like that. And, you know, she wasn't ashamed at all. If I'd asked her to go close the door so we could get on our knees for 10 minutes, she lost sales opportunities. It was, you know, a busy day. People were walking out in the street. I believe she would have done that. She would have probably said, yes, whatever you want to do, I'm willing. You know, there comes a time when God calls you and you're willing. Some people just reject that. And she did come to know Jesus Christ. She didn't, I looked for her, she didn't come to the meeting that night, but I bet she's gone to a lot of meetings in churches since then. But I do know she was born again that day, that moment in time there in outside of Seattle. Well, no, we don't deserve to. But the most amazing thing is that Jesus said, if you know the mystery of the seed, you will be saved. What a fantastic thing. Well, I'll tell you, we have a great song for you by the Cathedrals, and I want to get into the seed. I want you to know it. You say, well, Tex, no matter how much you teach me, I won't know it unless I have the divine Holy Spirit to give it to me. I know that. But you know, if you're not a Christian today, maybe, just maybe today's your day. You may think you're a Christian and say, I want to know for sure. Well, maybe today is your day to know for sure. We're going to have this a very beautiful song. It's an old song. Everybody seems to know this song if they've gone to church at all. But it's something that is so very beautiful. And I love this this rendition of it by the Cathedrals. And you'll recognize it. Here are the Cathedrals.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. We read, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? This is one of the most fascinating, most important, and most profound passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. I believe that in these few verses is contained the entire gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to right away understand some powerful things. Many were gathered to him. So many that they were crushing up against him. He had to get into a boat and go out into the sea there and preach to them, so he could be off a ways and so they could see him. Otherwise, he would be lost in the huge crowd that gathered. But it was obvious that even though there was a very large crowd, not all were called to know and understand the mystery of the seed. It says in verse 2 that he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. And understand something. These were not just fairy tales. These were not just little interesting, fascinating, titillating stories. Oh, no. These parables were in his doctrine. A lot of people say, you know, doctrine divides. Let's just all believe in Jesus. I think they are correct. Doctrine divides. There are those who will not understand his doctrine. These people will be lost. And if they never understand his, that is Jesus' doctrine, they will be lost and go to hell and stay there forever, suffering in torment. So is doctrine important? Only if you wish to enter the kingdom of God and have eternal life. If that means nothing to you, if instead you prefer to die and go to hell and suffer forever and ever, then do not worry at all about doctrine. In fact, please turn off the radio, turn on the good rock music station. Turn on some interesting talk show about politics today. For after all, doctrine is divisive. And you will be divided. There will be those who are divided and go off to be with Jesus forever. And there will be others who are divided and sent on a different path. Jesus himself said he came to bring division. A lot of people said he came to bring unity. He only came to bring unity of those who believe and trust in him. He says himself he will divide the sheep from the goats. He said, my sheep know me. They hear my voice. Another's voice they will not listen to. Oh, yes, doctrine is divisive. Of course, the false teachers will tell you that that means a bad thing. Don't attempt to preach doctrine because that will be divisive. It might even be confrontational. And it will make people hate and despise you. But after all, they hated and despised our Lord Jesus. It's interesting, too, that we began with Jesus saying that a sower went to sow. And there he had the seed. And he began to sow the seed. But some fell by the wayside, and the fowls, birds of the air, came and devoured it up. Others fell on stony ground. And there wasn't much earth there. And, you really couldn't, you can't plant something on stony ground. And, well, It sprang up at first, but it couldn't go down into the earth because it hit the rock, the bedrock. And, well, when the sun came up, it was scorched, and because it didn't have a sturdy enough root, it withered away. Some fell among the thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it. It yielded no fruit. But other seed fell on good ground and increased. I believe this is true of human beings. Now, his disciples ask of him, what does this mean? In fact, not as just his disciples, but others, along with the 12 disciples, ask of this parable. He said something incredible. He said, it's given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom. In other words, you will know these things. I'm going to explain it to you, he said. But those that are not of the kingdom of God, that are without, that means outside, in King James English, those that are outside the kingdom of God, he says, they will not see and perceive, and they will not hear and understand. If they did, if they were to see and perceive and hear and understand, Jesus said that would be a result of their conversion, and their sins would be forgiven them. So if you understand the mystery of the seed, which is in Christ Jesus' doctrine, your sins will be forgiven you. But that's why so many will be lost, because they will not understand this parable. And Jesus said, it's given unto his children. It's given unto those who shall be born again to understand. You can't buy this understanding. You can't pay $30,000 a year like you can for tuition at Harvard or Princeton or Yale and get this knowledge. How do you do it? Well, 1 Peter chapter 1:23 has the answer. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You're born again if you understand the seed, because it's incorruptible and you will be incorruptible. How can you be born again by the word of God? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Well, now that's what Peter said. And who do you think inspired Peter? Oh, of course, Jesus Christ. Well, is that what Jesus said? Oh, let's get some reinforcement here. Let's get some reinforcement. Let's go to verse 14. Again, Mark chapter 4, verse 14, and let's read some more. And let's see how Jesus explained it. Peter said, you're born again of incorruptible seed by the word of God. Is that true? Well, only if Peter said it in accordance with what Jesus taught in his doctrine. And what did Jesus teach? Let's see. Verse 14 of Mark chapter 4 says, and this is Jesus' words, the sower soweth the word. Let me stop right there. What is the seed that's being sowed? Is it money? That's what Oral Roberts teaches. Robert Tilton teaches. Jan and Paul Crouch teach. Benny Hinn teaches. Ken Hagin teaches. Ken Copeland teach. They say that you sow the seed, which is your money, into the ministry, into a church, and you'll be rewarded some 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold for the money that you give. That's the seed, they say. Well, I wouldn't want to cast doubt and aspersions on Oral Roberts and Paul Crouch and Benny Hinn, would I? I wouldn't want to say that what they said is a lie, would I? What a mean-spirited person I would be to say that they're teaching a false doctrine. Now remember, we only want to teach Jesus' doctrine. And we started off right here in this same chapter of Mark saying that Jesus taught this parable in his doctrine. Was it the doctrine of Moses? Was it the doctrine of Elijah? Was it the doctrine of... He said it's in his doctrine. Well, I quoted you Peter. Is it Peter's doctrine? Only. Only if it is in accord, in perfect alignment and in harmony and arrangement with Jesus' doctrine. I want to know Jesus' doctrine. It's fine and dandy what Oral Roberts teaches, that the seed is money. And if you give money, you'll get more money. That's what they teach. Is that the pathway to salvation? Well, they don't exactly say that, but they certainly say you can become prosperous and great in the kingdom of God by sowing your money. Is that what is incorruptible? Is money incorruptible? Does it live and abideth forever? I think not. I'll tell you what you do, my friends. Go to a museum and do whatever you need to obtain Roman money. And then you take your Roman money, or you take perhaps from the city of Troy back in the days of the Greeks, or take the money that Pharaoh used, the coinage that Pharaoh used back in Egypt, and take it to a 7-Eleven store and see if you can buy yourself a big gulp soft drink. Tell them you have the equivalent of $1,000 in old ancient Carthage money, old ancient Roman money. See how corruptible it will be. They will tell you, do you have 50 cents? That's what I'm looking for here today. Oh, it corrupts. And someday, none of the monies of this world, all of the currencies and coin, will be for nothing. Throw them in the sewer. They won't be any good. Here's what Jesus said. Let me give you his definition. What is the seed? He says, the sower soweth the word. The word. The word of God is sowed. Money? Is that incorruptible? No. What then is incorruptible, which liveth and abideth forever? Peter said it was the word of God. What did Jesus say? It's the word of God. Know that, and let that grow in your heart, and you'll live forever. This is Tex Mars, your pastor here at Bible Home Church. God bless you. Until next week.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.